Good morning. I'm glad to be here. Are you?
Yes.
I was going to give you a choice. Would you rather be here or in a submarine with a screen door? I hope you'd choose here. Everybody enjoy their extra hour of sleep, supposedly. An old Indian once said, only the government would cut 2 inches off the end of the blanket and sew it on the other end and say you got extra. I want to tell you about a friend of mine to start with today. In your bulletin, you have my handout notes, and I left a few blanks for you to stay in tune and stay awake this morning to write, fill in. But first, I want to tell you about a friend of mine. His name is Tom Prouty. Tom is a professional photographer. He does sports pictures and wildlife pictures. Really a great guy. And the thing I really appreciate about Tom, he has a passion for sharing Christ. And I've gained a new passion for sharing Christ by hanging out with Tom. Tom is, I believe, has the gift of evangelism, and he doesn't talk with anybody very long before he's sharing Christ with them, and I really appreciate that about Tom. And he's made me more bold in my Christian walk just by hanging out with him. And I really appreciate Tom. He's preaching for me back home this morning, so I'm sure that they're getting the truth, and that enabled me to be able to come this morning. I guess I would like all of us to be like Tom, to be quick to share Christ. You know, I did a little research. Lifeway, the bookstore arm of the Southern Baptist Convention, did a survey not too long ago that said 80% of believers in the evangelical church believe that it's their responsibility to be sharing Christ. Would you say that? Yes, amen. But the problem is that it gets short-circuited someplace between believing it and doing it. And only about 17% of evangelical believers have shared Christ in the last 6 months. And unfortunately, that's been me in the past. Even as a pastor, you know, it's easy to share Christ from the pulpit, but to share Christ in our personal life and our daily walk with our friends and our family and the people we work with, that's a little scarier, isn't it? So hopefully this morning I'm going to give you some motivation to share Christ, because I believe it is true that God has left us as a responsible people to be sharing the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is great news, right?
Amen.
Yeah, it's the best news. You know, if you and I had the cure for cancer and our next door neighbor was dying of cancer, would we tell him? I hope so. I think we would. But yet we have the better news than that. We have the cure for the ultimate disease, and that's sin. In the book, we have the cure, and yet we stay silent about it. And so hopefully I can give you 3 reasons this morning why each believer should be sharing Christ. But let's pray before we do that. Father, thank you so much for this privilege of speaking to this dear body of believers. Father, I pray that you would use your word this morning, because that is truly where you speak from. And Father, I pray that your word would be remembered and not mine. And Father, I pray that you'd be glorified in everything that's said and done. I ask this in precious name of Jesus. Amen. So, reason number one, why should each believer be sharing Christ? It's because it is our mission from Jesus. It is our mission from Jesus. Jesus left us with something to do. You know, that's kind of like you parents when you leave the house and you leave your kids home. You don't want them playing video games all day, so you give them something to do. Right? Go like this. If you aren't, you should be. And Jesus has left us with something to do. He gives us a lot to do. He gives us the mission of sharing Christ. Otherwise, he would have just taken us home. But he left us here to share Christ with others. Let's look at some of these scriptures. These are not going to be unfamiliar to you, but I just ask you to pretend like you're hearing them for the first time. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. So what are we to be doing? Making disciples, right. And to all nations, that's right. So that includes Norfolk, right? That includes Plainview. It includes any town that you're from. Even the towns up in Boyd County where Gross only has two people. There's a good place to eat in Gross, by the way. The Nebraska Inn. Got a lot of culture there. I did recommend it. Just don't go there too late at night. You'll be all right. So we should go everywhere, right? And notice the three little commands that are there. If you're an English teacher, these are the participles, those mini verbs. Going, baptizing, and teaching. That's how we're to make disciples. So the outline is, make disciples. That's our mission from God. And we're to be going, baptizing, and teaching. That's our action plan. Now, notice that first one, going. You know, I think there's a problem in our American church, has been for years, that we have this standing invitation. You all come and hear our good pastor, Matt. And he is a good pastor. I like Matt. But you know, that isn't what the Great Commission says. It says go instead of just come. You know, I believe that each of us ought to be going to those people that God brings in contact with us, our family, our friends, our children, our grandchildren, and the people we work with. So we need to be going. That's the heart of the Great Commission, is going. Let's go to the next verse. We can't spend too much time on each one of these. Mark 16, 15. Notice that there's one going verse in each of the Gospels. Here's the one in Mark. And he said to them, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Go again. Next verse, Luke 24, 45 through 48. And then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise again from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these signs. Huh. So repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all the nations. So what are we to say? We're to tell them about what Jesus did for them. What did he do? He died on the cross, was buried, and rose again. That's the heart of the gospel. That's the message of the gospel. That's the good news of the gospel. Jesus conquered death, and so can we, if we'll place our faith and trust in his work. Next verse. John 20, 21, 22. Jesus said to them again, peace be with you, as the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. What's Jesus doing for us? He's sending us. He's sending us. Where is he sending us? To all the nations, right? And that includes your family and friends. That includes Nebraska, that includes the United States, that includes all the other nations in this earth. So he's sending us. Next scripture. I love this one, Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. What are we to be? Witnesses, that's right. What does a witness do? Tells the story, tells what they know, right? Tells what happened to them. We don't have time to look there, but look at John chapter 4 sometime, maybe this afternoon after you take your nap to rest up from that extra hour of sleep you got this morning. And it tells about the Samaritan woman. Her testimony was, come talk to this man that told me all about my life. That was her testimony. And her whole village trusted Christ. She told what she knew. She was a witness to her village. You know, just a simple outline. Tell how you were before you knew Jesus, how you come to know Jesus, and the changes he's brought in your life after coming to know Jesus. Simple testimony, simple outline. Practice that. Develop that into about 1 minute. Anybody will listen to you for 1 minute, right? Most people will anyway. Most people are pretty polite here in North Central Nebraska. They'll listen to you at least for a minute. So get your testimony down and get it so you can say it quickly and put some hooks in there, you know, something that'll catch their interest. So you're to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, that'd be Norfolk. In Judea, that might be Stanton and Plainview and the surrounding towns, Neely. And Samaria would be Nebraska. And the uttermost part of the earth would be the rest of the world. We're to go to all those places. We're to go because that's the mission that Jesus left us with. One last verse. Verses 1 Corinthians. That should be 2 Corinthians 5, 20 through 21. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. What has he left us to be? Ambassadors. What's an ambassador do? Represents. That's right, represents. If the President of the United States appointed you to be the ambassador to a nation in Africa, you would represent the United States and the president to that nation. Well, God has given us the privilege of being his ambassadors to the world, to represent him, to be his messenger, his witness, his person that's sent out to the world. And what's our message? That Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin for us so that we might have the righteousness of God in him. So the first reason that I proposed to you this morning for sharing Christ is because we're commanded to. It's our mission from God. And we just need to be obedient. Sometimes doing right, you have to choose obedience, even if you don't feel like it. You have to choose to be obedient. So it's our mission from Jesus. Reason number two is because without Jesus, all are lost. I debated whether to put this one first or second. This one can get emotional. If we could just get a glimpse of what hell is like, I think we would be on fire for Jesus Christ. No pun intended. If we could get a glimpse of what eternity in hell is like, we would never be the same. Because that is the destination of anybody who does not put their faith in Jesus Christ. Let's look at some verses. Romans 6, 3:23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All of us are in this together. Every human that has ever lived has fallen short of the standard God has given. God is such a holy God, he cannot endure the presence of any sin. So one sin makes us a sinner, and all of us have done at least one sin. If you don't believe that, then you just lied and you've sinned. So, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's bad news number one. Bad news number two is in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So the wages of sin is death. That's what we deserve, what we get for our sin is spiritual death. What's spiritual death? It's separation from God for eternity in a place called hell that God prepared for his angel, for Satan and his angels. Think about that. For the wages of sin is death. Each person who does not choose to put their faith in Jesus Christ will die a spiritual death. I hope that raises some compassion in your heart. Hope that gives you a little boost in the butt to share Christ with those people that you know who aren't believers. Let's go on to the next verse. John 14:6, Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." How many ways to God are there? One. Don't buy that malarkey that the world teaches that there's all roads lead to heaven. It's not true. This isn't politically correct, but I'm not trying to be. There's only one way to the Father, and that's through Jesus Christ. No shortcuts, no making our own way or a new path. He is the only way. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's Jesus speaking. So we hold the key, so to speak, the message anyway. You know, I think part of the trouble why we don't share Christ is we're afraid of rejection. But an old black evangelist that I used to have come speak in our churches, he said that we're in presentation, not sales. I like that. Our job is to make the presentation. It's God's job to make the sale. So that takes all the pressure off. We're just in presentation. God draws the net in. He's the one that seals the deal. So Jesus is the only way to heaven. And without Jesus, people are lost. These are some real common verses. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not," what? Perish, but have eternal life. So what happens if they don't believe? They will perish. "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God." So we're all on our path to hell, and unless we turn and place our faith in Jesus Christ, we're going to stay on that path, and we'll be lost forever. I don't know about you, but I don't want people to be lost. And neither does God. 1 Timothy, or 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, I believe, says that God wants all men to be saved. That's his desire. And he went all out to get us to that place by sending Jesus, his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. A couple more here. Romans 1. There we go. "I am under obligation," this is Paul writing to the Roman church, "I am under obligation both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. So I am eager to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Paul says, "I'm under an obligation to everyone to preach the gospel." He says he's not ashamed of the gospel. Why? Because it's the power of God for salvation. We've already talked about how it's the only way for people to be saved from their sin. So why would we hold that message back? Let's go to the next one. "And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." And that name is Jesus. Jesus Christ. He is the way, the only way to heaven. Revelation 20:15. This is very sobering. "If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire." Wow. That's at the end of the age, the final judgment. And how do you get your name written into the book of life? By placing your faith, your confidence in Jesus Christ. Believing on Him. Trusting in Jesus completely. Jesus plus nothing. I used to, in my younger years, I'd stand on a chair or something. I'd ask people, how much of my weight is on that chair? And they would say, all of it. And that's the way it has to be with Jesus. Our complete faith, our complete trust has to be in Jesus alone. Some people want to put one foot up on Jesus and one foot on their good works, being a good neighbor, keeping their fences fixed from where I come from, helping out their neighbors when they're in having trouble. And that's good, but it doesn't get you to heaven. We're not saved by our works. I asked a fellow not too long ago, if you were to die tonight, how would you respond when you came to the gates of heaven and somebody asked you, why should you come in? And they said, well, probably because I've lived a good life and I've been pretty good. You know, that doesn't do it. It's only on the merits of Jesus that we can be admitted into heaven. It's only by faith in Jesus alone will we be able to go there. We have to come to the point where we transfer our faith off of ourselves and onto Jesus Christ. A conscious choice to trust Christ alone for salvation. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never done that. I don't know any of you really. And that's good in a way because then I can speak impartially. Maybe you've been coming to church for years, but you've never realized that you're lost until you place your faith in Jesus Christ. If you're that person this morning, why not place your faith and confidence in Jesus this morning? Right now. Don't go away without transferring your faith off of yourself and on to Jesus Christ. Please don't go away. You never know. You might say, well, I'll think about it more when I get home. What if you don't make it home? We never know how much longer we have. Take my good friend Dennis Hampton. How many of you knew Dennis? He was kind of my mentor. I shared an office with him for 4 years in O'Neill, and I loved him. But he didn't make it home one day. Thankfully, he knew Jesus, obviously. We never know. We have no guarantee on tomorrow. So don't leave today. If you've never transferred your faith off of yourself and on to Christ, don't leave today until you've done that. In fact, I want to give you a chance to do that just before I finish my message here. Let's just bow our heads. And I just ask you, if God's tugging on your heart this morning, whispering in your ear, not literally, but spiritually, telling you that you've never placed your complete faith in Jesus, why not do it today? I'm just going to give you 30 seconds of silence to tell him that you want to place your faith in Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. All right. Thank you. Point number three. First point was, is because it's our mission from Jesus. Second point was that anyone without Jesus Christ, they are lost. Third one is because it will help us grow in Christ. Sharing Christ is the most growth-promoting thing that you can do in your Christian life. It's like drinking 3 Red Bulls in an hour. Now, I don't know what that'd be like because I've never done that. I think that stuff tastes terrible. But maybe you're into coffee. 3 espressos in an hour would probably get you shaking a little bit. Yeah, get your heart pounding. Well, that's what sharing Christ does to your Christian life. It spurs you on. Let's look at Philemon chapter 1, verse 6. I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. Sharing of your faith promotes growth. It enlightens you to new truths and helps you grow in your faith. Next verse. 2 Corinthians 5, 14 and 15. For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. It is he, and he died for all, that those who live might be no longer, should no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. The love of Christ controls us. And when the love of Christ controls you, you're growing in your faith. Next verse. 1 Peter 3:15. But in your hearts honor Christ as Lord, as holy, always being prepared to give a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect. Always be ready to share a word for Christ. Be ready. They told us in college, be ready to preach, pray, or die at a moment's notice. That's good advice. Next verse. 1 Timothy 4, 11 through 15. Command and teach these things. This is Paul talking to his son Timothy, his spiritual son. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Until I come, devote yourselves to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. Practice these things, immerse yourself in them, so that all may see your progress. Practice these things, these things of sharing Christ. Immerse yourself in them. Don't just get sprinkled, but immerse yourself in them. Why? So that others can see your progress, see your growth. Nothing will lead to more growth in your Christian life than sharing Christ. I think we got, maybe that's it. That should be the last verse. Let's try to wrap this up and apply it. So what do we need to be doing? Sharing Christ, right? Who do we need to be sharing with? Everybody. And especially those people that God puts in our path. You know, I don't know if each believer is responsible for the world, but I know we're responsible for the people that we come in contact with. Our family members, our children, our grandchildren, the people we work with. You know who they are. You know who are far from God. And you need to be sharing Christ with them. So I want you to flip your page over. I want you to make a short list. Write down 3 to 5 names of people that you think are far from God, still in their sin. Now, we don't know that's God's business, right? We can't save them. We don't know for sure who's saved, but we can guess, usually by their life, their lack of peace, their lack of joy in Christ. And it's a blessing. I shared with somebody last week, and I got to the end of my little gospel presentation. They said, well, I've done that. And that's just as cool, isn't it? That's just as rewarding. At least I was a witness, and I learned that she was a sister in Christ. So pick out 3 to 5 people and start praying for them. Pray for opportunities to share Christ. Pray for opportunities to love on them, to let them know that you love them and that Christ loves them. And then don't be afraid to share Christ. The message of the gospel is powerful. It is the power of God for salvation. You got your list? Got it on the sticky side of your brain if you don't have a pen? Got it on your smartphone? Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for making us your ambassadors. Thank you for giving us a mission, something to do while we wait for you to come back. And Father, thank you for making the provision for each person to live eternally with you if they'll only place their faith, their confidence in Jesus Christ. And Father, thank you for giving us incentive to grow, to learn more about you by being obedient and sharing Christ. Father, I pray for each believer here in this congregation this morning that they would be moved by you, burdened by you, for those people they know and they work with and they have in their own home maybe that need to hear the message of Jesus Christ. Father, convict them that they need to hear the gospel. And Father, give them the courage to speak a word for you. Father, help each of us to be faithful in our mission from you, knowing that without the message of the gospel, people are lost. Before I finish my prayer, I'm just going to ask anybody who placed their faith, their confidence in Jesus Christ, just to come up as we sing our last worship song. I'll wait up here, and I'd like to visit with you if you placed your faith and trust in Christ this morning. Thank you, Father, for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.